Iman Rush Audio presents 12 Du'at Immortalized in the Quran by Muhammad al-Sharif.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu subhanahu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'gfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina min yahdihillahu ta'ala fala mudilla lah wa min yudlil fala hadiya lah wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل فقد أمرنا الله تعالى بذلك في كتابه الكريم فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا ثم أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions for us an incident. In the words of Allah azza wa jal, الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about an incident that happened in the Battle of Uhud, in which the people came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they came to the companions, and they said, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ, that verily the people have gathered against you. They have made and declared war against you. And so the people said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَخْشَوْهُمْ, so fear those human beings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. What was the actual reaction? That their iman had increased. And they said, وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. They said in reply, Hasbunallah, that Allah is enough for us. Wa ni'mal wakil. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best wakil. These words, in fact, were also the words of another prophet. They were the words of Ibrahim alayhi salam. You can imagine back to the moment in which he was sitting over the blazing fire and they pushed him over. And in the air, those moments right before his body entered into that blazing flame, he said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. He said the exact same words. These words that were spoken by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and spoken by Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to immortalize these words in the Quran. And they became Quranan yutla ila yawm al qiyamah. It became Qur'an that we recite until the final day. In fact, you'll see even in the story of Aisha radiallahu anha, she knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would show that she was innocent, but as she says, that she didn't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal Qur'an to be recited. And then I thought about this. What other words and what other dua were immortalized in the Qur'an? What other dua did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention? Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to imitate these du'as. And wants us to seek reward by saying these du'as. And inshaAllah ta'ala, today in these few moments, we're going to go through a journey of the different dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Qur'an. In the story of Adam, our father, alayhi salam, when they ate from the tree and they were expelled, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. We have to realize that Adam alayhi salam was the first creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could he do tawbah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to teach him. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he received words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used those words, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. And if you look in other surahs, as the ulama of the tafsir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Adam and Hawa alayhim salam, قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That these were the words, as the ulama of the tafsir said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam. Now look at the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us what to say, teaches us the dua. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to say the dua that He taught us subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it from us. And He answers the dua of the people who make dua sincerely to Him. If you are on a plane, I want you to imagine if the pilot of the airplane said to you that we're going to be crashing, you're flying over the mountains, he said we've lost the engines and the plane is basically going to go down in about 8 minutes. Make your final prayers. Would you be wasting time speaking to the passenger beside, so where you're from and so on? You wouldn't. And in fact, there's accounts of people who had this happen to them. And subhanAllah, I read about them and I'd always look at how closely they turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the passengers says, as the flight was doomed and it was coming down, and he actually survived the crash, he said, never in my life did I have a connection with God. He said, I don't know why, but at that moment, I felt a need to pray to God. And he saw people crying on the airplane, and he just raised his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, I don't know why. And look through those stories, you will see it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about how when the people go out into the water and they have no one to save them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مُخْلِصِينَ, with full sincerity, associating no one in partners with Allah azza wa jal. And just as a point here, some people may ask, why are these things happening to the Muslims? And I'll tell you one hikmah. Because it is only when a person goes to the extreme, when they realize that no one can help them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they make the most sincerest dua to Allah azza wa jal. And you're seeing that now. People are coming in and they're making dua sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the whole purpose of our creation. To make sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran is the dua to increase us in knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made these words, Quran, that we recite and we seek reward from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to seek knowledge. In Surah Taha, verse 114, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. And say, Rabbi, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. And we see in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, after he had gone out and he had debated with the king, and the king said, I give life, I give death. Ibrahim alayhi salam, after that incident, you go one ayah after that, skip an ayah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. A dua for an increase of knowledge. He said, رَبِّ أَرِنِي, my Lord, show me, كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى, how do you bring life from death? And when Qarun, at the time of Musa, in fact, the knowledge, and you could almost say he was a business entrepreneur, he was very wealthy with his mansions and his wealth, and the people told him to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of this. He said in reply, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. He said that I have this wealth, I have this big fat house, and I have this really fancy car because of my education. My PhD and my degree is what got this to me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ, doesn't he know, أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَهْلَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنَ الْقُرُونَ مَنْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُ قُوَّةً وَأَكْثَرُ جَمْعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, doesn't he know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed people that came before him who had more wealth and had gathered more knowledge and accumulated more power, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them? Why? Because they didn't ascribe what had come to them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when someone has knowledge, whatever they've learned, whether it's dunya sciences or akhirah sciences, they continuously turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi zidni ilma. The second dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran is the dua of one who is exiled. Exiled meaning they're expelled from their land. Maybe their visa ran out and they're kicked out of the land. Or maybe they said that you're not a valid immigrant and they're kicked out. Many of us don't understand the life that this person lives. SubhanAllah, I had the opportunity to be in Medina University, where people, students, many of us could go home to our countries, but other students had to spend the entire summer, and what a blessed place to stay, but they would have to stay in Medina Munawwara because they had no country to go back to. And I can start naming countries here and there and there. Allahu ta'ala a'lam of which countries are next. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Musa alayhi salam. فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبُ قَالَ رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. When they were in search of Musa to kill him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا, that he left the town, he left the city, يَتَرَقَّبُ, in fear and apprehension, قَالَ, and then he raised his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. O Allah, save me from these oppressive people. And we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even at the beginning of his mission, when he went to Buhayra, and Buhayra said to him that I would have followed you when your people kicked you out of the city. When the people would kick you out of the city, I would follow you at that time. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, are they going to expel me? And he said, yes. Because it has to happen. When someone comes with the truth, this is the way the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala work. They kick them out of the lands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, saying to tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this dua, وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدَخَلَ صِدْقٍ وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ صِدْقٍ. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my Lord, adkhilni, enter me into an entrance, a sound entrance and a safe entrance into Medina al-Munawwara, wa akhrijni mukhraja sidq, and let me leave in a sound exit. And this is from Medina al-Munawwara, sorry, from Mecca al-Mukarrama, when they expelled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third dua is one of the most important dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put on our tongues. And you'll see even in these ad'iyah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, many of them say, waqul, waqul, waqul. This dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts directly on our tongues in salah. It's the dua that Allah teaches us for guidance. Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to say it. And from His mercy, azza wa jal, that He puts it on the tongue of the abd when they stand up for salah. They say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Every single day, again and again and again, O Allah, guide us to the straight path. O Allah, guide us to the straight path. The kuffar, in times like this and even before it, they grow up not calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they call other things. They have fountains. When they want to make a dua, they'll take a quarter, or they'll take a silver dollar, as much, the more that they pay, basically they're going to get their dua accepted more. They'll go to Rome, and they'll find a fountain, and they'll do hajj to that pond and that stream and that fountain to throw in their dimes and to throw in their quarters. That perhaps the God of so-and-so and the God of this and the God of that will accept from them. And you know a verse of poetry that you grew up with. This poetry goes to the effect of when you wish upon a star. And I won't sing it for you, but everyone knows the tune. And every child in here knows the tune of that, when you wish upon a star. And some of them are smiling right now. This is the shirk that they teach us since we are young. And when someone goes to Disneyland or watches TV and says it's only cartoons, from that young age, they're teaching the children this shirk. And they don't even know it, but it's in their mind and it's programmed into their heads. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us day after day to turn in dua, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path. Fourthly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the dua to our families, to make dua for our families. Of the highest haqq upon us is a dua that we say to our parents, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us and say, رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا, O Allah, have mercy upon them as they raised me when I was young. And in another verse, it's actually a very beautiful verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, speaking about the human being, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. This ayah is talking about when that person gains their strength and they become 40 years old. And this ayah was emphasized for me in Medina one time when a brother came from the UK and he said, I've turned 40. And then he opened the Qur'an and he said, my friends told me that when I become 40, to open the Qur'an and say this dua. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when they reach the age of 40, قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي. And the dua says, قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when they reach the age of 40, قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي, he says, O my Lord, أَوْزِعْنِي, enable me, أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ, that I'm grateful, enable me to be grateful to your favor that you bestowed upon me, and the favor from my parents. وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا, and that I would do good deeds of which you approve, and make righteous for me my offspring. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي, and here we also see the dua for the person's children. And in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he came to Mecca and he left his wife, he said, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ. He made dua for himself, but he didn't stop there. He said, of the things he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, O Allah, bless me with the ability to establish the salah. One of those who establishes salah, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. And let my children be of those who establish salah. And I want you to compare this to how a parent focuses so much on the dunya of the child. The dunya, the dunya, the dunya. They have to be this, they have to live in this house, they have to have this bank account size. And here is Ibrahim alayhi salam, concerned, will his children be of those who establish salah or not? Fifthly, the fifth dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Qur'an, and it's interesting, but it's a dua of public speaking. And they say, and there's very famous polls about this, and they ask people, what do you fear more? Death or public speaking? And more people chose public speaking than death. Basically, they're more afraid to stand before other human beings, their boss, than they're afraid to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that indeed, and in that public speaking comes the da'i who's standing up for the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and teaching it to the people. They may feel shy, going to someone's door, knocking on them, telling them, this is Islam, I'm inviting you to Islam. Many people would be shy to do that. They'll say, no, no, I'll just leave the pamphlet at the door. Or let me just go away. I don't want to speak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the dua of Musa alayhi salam in Surah Taha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. The dua goes, رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي, that my Lord, Ya Rabbi, اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي, expand for me my breast with assurance. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي, and make easy my task. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي, and untie the knot from my tongue. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. Sixthly, the sixth dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran. And this is a dua that's very popular when people go for exams. They go for exams, and when you see someone kind of, you know, why are you hearing the message a little bit more often, they'll say, oh, my final exams are coming up. I'm here to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it may even bring tears in their salah, turning back to Allah azza wa jal. And the most important exam that that human being will go through is the exam of the hereafter. And so they should be in the masjid day after day, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make sure that they pass that exam. And indeed, any college exam, it doesn't matter. A person can pay a little bit more money and take the exam again. But if someone fails the exam of the hereafter, there is no makeup test. There's no retest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. O Allah, don't take us to account in نَسِيْنَا, if we forget, أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا, or we make a mistake. And sometimes, dear brothers and sisters, people look at Muslims around them and they see that they may be making mistakes or they may have forgotten about something and they may hit them hard with that. But look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in which He teaches us. Because Allah azza wa jalla knows that we will forget. And Allah azza wa jalla knows that we will make mistakes. Allah knows it. And so He teaches us to say this dua. When someone sees someone else forgetful or making a mistake, they should also say the dua. Maybe they've forgotten something also. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Which brings us to the next dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran, and that is the dua for our Muslim brothers. Dua for our Muslim brothers. In the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we see these anbiya repeating in their duas that were recorded in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says about him, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. He wasn't selfish alayhi salam in his dua. He said, O Allah, forgive me. And forgive my parents, and forgive every single believer in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Every mu'min, forgive them all on the day of repayment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hashr verse 10 about those pious people where they say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا. Where they make the dua, O Allah, forgive us, وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Forgive us and the believers that came before us in faith. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And don't make in our hearts resentment. غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. For those who believe. The dua for our brothers. If any of us walks into a masjid and they feel resentment for another Muslim that's there, they should say astaghfirullah and say the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And we put a smile on our faces and we welcome our brothers. The eighth dua is a dua of victory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran. In the story of Jalut and Dawood alayhi salam, when they had come, the believers said, in fact, after he had tested them, and there was only believers left, they saw the army, they said, قَالُوا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ. They said that there is no power for us against Jalut and his soldiers. Against the Goliath and his soldiers, there's no power. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the dua of the pious people and those who had yaqeen in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. In this verse, actually the word أَفْرِغْ, if you take a bucket and you pour it out, this is to do the faragh, or to pour it out. They say, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا, pour down upon us, almost shower us, sabra, with patience. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامِنَا, keep our feet firm. When the ground shakes and the battle is about to begin, keep our feet firm, وَانْصُرْنَا, and grant us victory against the disbelieving people. What happened in this battle? When they said that there was no power, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted victory to that small army. The ninth dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran is a dua that we die as Muslims. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to make dua, that O Allah, keep us firm all the way till the end so that we die as Muslims. In the beginning of the khutbah, when the khatib begins, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِي وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, and do not die except in a state of being a Muslim. And here you see the label that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. That when we die, the label that goes on the casket is this person died as a Muslim. And this is the label that we will go forward with in this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ, the dua of the righteous people, O Allah, pour down patience upon us and let us die as believers. The tenth dua is a dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us of forgiveness. Allah azza wa jal teaches us the story of Yunus alayhi salam. And he was in the belly of a whale, in the darkness of the sea, in the darkness of the night. There's no light out on the sea. If the moon's out or it's cloudy, it's dark. And in that darkness is the darkness of the sea. And in that darkness is the whale, and Yunus alayhi salam is inside the whale. Imagine, could anybody at that time search out the whale, open it up, basically catch the whale, open the stomach and take out Yunus? No one could help him. Yunus alayhi salam understood this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. He called out, لا إله إلا أنت, there's no God but you, subhanak, glory be to you, إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his dua. The 11th dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us and wants us to repeat is the dua of placing our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, رَبَّنَا عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَبْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. In the conflict between Ibrahim alayhi salam and his people, he said this dua and it was recorded, رَبَّنَا, O our Lord, عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْنَا, that upon you we've put our trust. The 12th dua, and there are many other dua other than this. In fact, subhanAllah, I became overwhelmed with how many different dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran. But the 12th dua that we're going to say today is the dua of the weak, of the men and the women and children who make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them and save them from oppressive governments and the oppressors around them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ والمستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها واجعل لنا من لدنك وليا واجعل لنا من لدنك نصيرا. And if you don't know this ayah, inshaAllah ta'ala, I won't translate it for you, but I want you to go back. It's in Surah An-Nisa, verse 75. Surah An-Nisa, verse 75. Go back and read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, 1400 years after this ayah has been revealed, we see this dua being played on the radio and on the television waves. We shouldn't be watching the television, but on the radio waves, we hear the dua being called out, رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ أَهْلُهَا. Dear brothers and sisters, we're against this war. No Muslim should ever stand up and say that we agree with the killing of innocent men and women and children. They're called collateral damage, and people are being blamed for who's going to die. But no doubt, the expatriates are leaving the country. Whether it's the Red Cross or anybody from any other country, the only people left are the weak ones that couldn't leave. And they are the ones who are going to be killed in this atrocity. Dear brothers and sisters, during the Gulf War, just to give you an idea, during the Gulf War, the Americans and our taxpayers paid for this. They dropped bombs on Iraq. And the amount of bombs, it was 88.5 thousand tons of bombs that were dropped on the people. The nuclear bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima, August 6, 1945, what was dropped on Iraq was seven times the amount of the nuclear bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. You're basically looking at seven nuclear bombs that were dropped on the heads of innocent men, innocent women, innocent children. Our brothers and our sisters in our deen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely from our hearts to protect those people. Because in this time and in their corners and in their houses, they have no one to protect them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them and forgive us for not being able to protect them the way and we're responsible for. Now, on behalf of Darussalam, I apologize for the delay here, but inshallah, on behalf of Darussalam, I'd just like to give you some points for the community, and I hope inshallah that you follow these points. Number one is that many of the Muslim communities in North America do not have leadership. They have masajid, and basically like a bus full of people, there's no one guiding the bus. And the bus will smash here, and it'll smash there, and someone will stand up, and confusion will happen. They'll be on CNN the next day, and the whole masjid is burnt down. Dear brothers and sisters, we do have leadership here. And Allahu A'lam, I don't know how sinful a person would be, but when we have a leader, then it's our Muslim duty to listen to that Amir. And so when we ever have a decision in this community, we should come back. Speak to Brother Safi, speak to the Shura, and ask them, what should we do? And a Muslim should not go on their own like a sheep going out by themselves. Because when the wolf comes, it will eat that sheep. It will not attack the flock. And so, dear brothers and sisters, first and foremost, we have to listen to the emirship of our community. If you're part of this community, then it's responsible, you and myself, to follow that emirship. And we say, inshallah, that we'll try our best. Secondly, that if there's something suspicious in the community, inshallah ta'ala, the individuals of our community shouldn't go directly and take matters into their own hands. Instead, they should talk to Brother Yasser, or they can talk to the security, and let Darussalam deal with it. And if it is a matter that needs to be brought to the authorities, Darussalam will take care of that. But a person in the community should not see something, get confused, and then go to the police or go somewhere else and speak to someone incorrectly and cause more of a confusion. Inshallah ta'ala, our emirs have more idea of what's going on, and that suspicion should be directed to them, and they'll take it, inshallah ta'ala, to the correct authorities. Thirdly, that the security here at Darussalam, again, many other places, they don't have security like we do, but one of the keys to that security is that we listen to the security brothers. And so if they tell you to park in a way that you didn't learn in your driving manual, park that way, inshallah. And if you need driving lessons, we'll help you out on that, inshallah. If they tell you to do something, please follow it. And in case of a hate crime or something happens in the school or in Darussalam here, you realize that we have many people. And the key to everybody's safety is listening to those brothers who are in charge of security. They have the plan. If something happens, listen to them and follow their instructions, inshallah. Fourthly, just two words, slow down. Slow down. This road up here, since I came here to this community for 3 years, it's been said again and again on the microphone, do not speed in this area. And this more so now, not only would we be disturbing the neighbors, but some of those neighbors might have some anger built up in their hearts. And if they see a Muslim sister with hijab, a brother with a beard, and so on, and they're speeding, which would ignite and provoke them, Allahu A'lam what could happen. First and foremost, we shouldn't be speeding. And secondly, for your own protection. Do not speed down this road and do not speed on the highways. Protect yourself and protect the people around you, inshaAllah. Fifthly, that there's been some attention, sometimes Muslims, when they go to the mall or they go shopping, and someone says something derogatory, they may fight back and might start shouting in the mall or in the supermarket. Please do not do that. As a Muslim, we act respectfully and we carry ourselves respectfully. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ يَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوهُ عَلَى نِعَمِهِ يَزِدْكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ